This episode of Super Boothers is brought to you by Photo Booth Startup, giving you the ultimate photo booth at an affordable price. Specializing in ring light booths, whether you're just starting out or adding some to your fleet, Photo Booth Startup can help. Visit their website at photobooththestartup.com. Hello and welcome to Super Boothers. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Ismail.
So, do you remember how I was telling you that, like, I was really, like, slow? I was looking under the couch cushions for money. Like, I was about to, like, sell myself on Craigslist.
That doesn't ring a bell exactly, but I do remember a slow period.
So, I'm rich again.
Nice.
I have no... Oh my god, it sounds like I have a smoker's cough.
What have you been doing the last few days?
So I actually judged the Miss United States pageant in Orlando, Florida, which was amazing. And everyone thinks that pageants are like really like stupid and just pretty girls. And I'd say you're about 50% right, but the other 50% is really dedicated to community service and to giving back and, you know, to making sure that your community is, you know, successful. It's beauty with a purpose. A lot like Super Boothers.
I'm sure it was a cool experience to be part of.
For sure. And then we went to Disney just because we were there.
You do that just to get me jealous and rub it in because you know how much I love Disney.
So this is another thing. I am North America's foremost authority on all things Disney World and Disneyland. Like if there is a hack, if there is like a way for me to like maneuver around the system. So I will say this. If you have kids... And if you're going to Disney World at any point in time and you want to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, however, if anyone's been to Disney World as of the last year, you know that that's near impossible without a two-hour wait. We booked the Beauty and the Beast restaurant for breakfast. We were able to go to the Beauty and the Beast restaurant before the park opened. We were able to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. It sound like
I sound
like Tweety Bird, the Seven Dwarves Mine Twain, Seven Dwarves Mine Train, before the park opened. So that was just incredibly amazing because there's nothing better than walking on like the most popular ride in Disney World, just walking right on like you own the joint.
I haven't even heard of that ride.
it's totally amazing. Like it will change your life.
I mean, there's all sorts of sites and podcasts and books devoted to how to hack Disney World. So, I mean, that's a good one right there.
Totally cool. So much fun. But anyways, funny enough, I'm in Disney World and I'm waiting for like food at some like little quick service restaurant and out pops a little email. This is kind of what we're talking about today, but not really. Just know that I'm not poor anymore. This client sends me an email and she asked me for... two rather expensive photo booth options to where it's not really even a photo booth. She said the first one is a one-day event for 150 people, but it's a little high profile and they're spending some money. The second event is over the course of 2 days and it's for 5,000 people. What can you give me? Sent her some options. I was like, you know, this one's $7,000. This one's $5,000. This one's $9,000. She goes, we'll take two of the $9,000 for each day. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, that works out for me. And it's at like in August, which August is usually dead. August is generally a dead month in most industries. In real estate is another popular one. Everyone is moving. Everyone is like trying to get their kids off to school. Everyone is like getting back into the swing of things. Like August is just a dead month. So if you're dead in August, don't blame yourself. Like it is just how the market works.
Yeah, even here where the summer is usually a pretty active time of the year. I think August is definitely the slowest month of the summer by far.
For sure. So anyways, that's not what we're talking about today. What we are talking about today is clientception.
Clientception.
It's like inception, but your client. Like you don't know who your client is. It's like seven steps to Kevin Bacon.
So you're trying to say that you have a way of manifesting your ideal client? Is that what we're going
with? No, I mean that your agent, you have an agency that hired you that hired someone else, that hired their boss, that had their sister research, that their cousin had their manager want a photo booth. So what I mean by that,
it's the multi-layer dream.
Yes. Kind of thing. So what I mean by this is your client is not really your client. There's like seven steps to who the actual end client is.
And for those of you who don't know Inception, just to connect the dots here, it's a movie about going into people's dreams and they have dreams in their dreams. So it's like multi-layers of dreams.
Like you're dreaming in a dream, in a dream, in a dream, in a dream. Yeah. Kind of like the Britney Spears Dream in a Dream tour. We'll get to that in a moment. However, the point is I did an event maybe like 2 weeks ago now, I think, and a lot of stuff got lost in translation, which does not fly well with me. I am the type of person to where if you let me talk to the end client, I won't talk about money. I just need to make sure that they tell me what they want out of their mouth. That way I can accomplish that. And that way there's nothing left to chance. So what happened in this previous one was they wanted a specific text that was supposed to be on the front overlay. That was never discussed with me at any point in time.
Well, when there's so many layers, right, there's increased chances for things to fall through the cracks because there's more cracks. So,
for sure. So this one was a little difficult. And the agency, that's another thing that will happen. So if you have hotel people, it's not uncommon for, let's say there's a bride getting married, to where a sales manager signs her contract with one sales manager. That person leaves, it gets pushed on to the next one, that person quits, and it gets pushed on to the next person that takes their place. It's not uncommon for a wedding that books a year out to go through three sales managers.
I think, though, the ironic thing here is that you, for new clients, it's probably hard for them to trust you with speaking to the end client, like you said, right? So I imagine with people that you've worked with before, maybe they'd be willing to trust you. Yeah, but for new people, they don't want to let that control go. They want to own the client. And even if you say that you're not going to talk to them about money, about whatever, it's very hard for them to give you that control and that power.
That's what happened with this client. I had never worked with this client before. She, funny enough, she's out of Dallas, but we weren't working in Dallas, which I kind of thought was funny. And we live not even 5 minutes from one another. She didn't let me know who, so she was technically an agency. And there were two more levels of clients that she had. So the person that was actually putting on the event, or the person that paid for it rather, had disclosed that they wanted some specific text on the photo booth. This was a green screen. This was an overlay. This was digital props. I mean, there was a lot of things happening with this one. Luckily, I'm quick on Photoshop, so I was able to make stuff happen pretty quickly. But what sucks is she tells me this. I had a conversation with my client who had a conversation with the agency client. Hold on. Yeah, I think that's right. So in this meeting that we're having, like literally on the floor, she was like, well, we discussed this. And we're like, well, in this last email, this happened. So everyone's kind of pointing the finger at one another. I don't care about pointing the finger. Let me know what needs to happen.
This is like typical corporate world.
Oh, for sure. I don't
checking the email chain and did you CC the right person? Oh, like it's so annoying.
For sure. I don't care about that. Just let me know what needs to happen. I will make it happen. We walked away with the overlay needs to change to reveal text. So luckily I was able just to take whatever we had designed because it was an animated GIF to where the individual frames had a different it was like confetti, but there was like a different, help me out here, there's like different artwork for different frames. So we essentially did 32 frames per overlay is what's happening here. So I mean, literally that could take easily 30-45 minutes of work. So I had to figure out a quick workaround for all this, upload everything up. I see her literally 200 feet away from me, walking towards me, making a beeline. And out of the corner of her eye, I see that she saw the end client and is speeding towards me. So here I am trying to like edit stuff really quickly, upload it, refresh everything. By the time she got to me, it was working.
Wow.
And this is the thing is I work quick. I don't know too many people that work as fast as I do. I can only imagine if someone couldn't accommodate that, like what kind of bullets you would be sweating.
So I guess there's a couple different layers or ways to tackle this. Are we talking about avoiding this issue of the clientception, or are you talking about how to best deal with it once you're in?
There's no way to avoid it. I mean, the person that's hiring you is the person that's hiring you. I did a rather large beauty chain, and they were doing trade shows. And, you know, again, you have the end client, you have the regional person, you have the person that they hired, you have the agency that that person hired, you have the on-site manager that that person hired to do the event for them. I mean, this is just, it's very common. This happened to me. Oh, I guess I can tell this now. Ooh, this is a good one. Pull up a chair, pull over the car. If you're on the treadmill, just walk off for just a second, get some water, walk around. I have a story.
Story time music.
Yeah. Picture it. San Antonio Spurs, 2014. This was the year that they won. So it's at the finals. This is game 7. This is end all be all.
It's against the Miami Heat.
Unfortunately. This was kind of a bit, we're not going to have a LeBron conversation, are we?
I'm just following your lead here.
Ugh, LeBron's going to the Lakers. Tony Parker is going to the Charlotte Hornets. This is just like
what is
the biggest.
Tony
this
Parker.
Is that is the biggest devastation.
There's going to be more though. Kawhi Leonard's going to be gone too. So I'm sorry. Sorry to break it to you.
This is so depressing. People didn't come here for flipping basketball talk. Anyways, so the way how this works is, my client was an agency. And that agency hired brand ambassadors, which at this point in the game, the way how it works with the NBA finals is, or any sports finals rather, where there's multiple games, you don't know if they're going to make it to all 7 games. So you can't really schedule accordingly. You can tell people to block off the time. Hey, if they lose in game 6, then we're playing again and game 7's on. So it's really hard to kind of schedule this stuff out. So it got to the point where whenever the Spurs were getting into the playoffs a little more often or a little bit further up, I kind of had to block out pretty much all of June. Anyways, fast forward. It is game 7. My client hired brand ambassadors that will come set up the flooring. They'll set up the background. Generally, we had the big photo booth and the Spurs would give us their silver dancers and, you know, some of the dancers would come out, take pictures with fans. They would sign autographs. They'd sign the photos that we print out, like the whole nine. It was amazing. Well, the way how it worked was they had like a lead brand ambassador. That is the person that like will receive all of like the equipment or anything that's getting set up. So this was for AT&T. We were setting up, you know, TV. We were promoting UVerse. We had like literally, I mean, 6 massive like flight cases of equipment to set up. So the way how the finals worked out is we always had to go through the back entrance. And during the finals, there's like massive trailers. And the trailers house essentially like all the media. And then anyone that was like doing anything with the stadium would have to go through a trailer. You would get your badge that would have generally most likely would have your name on it and the company you worked for. Well, we don't know who exactly our agency client or our end client really is. So it was always kind of difficult just to manage. You know, you're on the phone with, you know, people trying to figure out like, you know, well, who was supposed to get my name on this? And again, going through the emails and the whole nine yards. So the lead brand ambassador was not our normal lead. I guess something happened with the other one and he like got shipped off on another assignment. So they had this replacement come in. He had such a difficult time with getting his badge to get in the building that he just threw up his hands and quit on the spot.
Wow. Did you get, you know how some of these people do these amazing quitting scenes when they record it and upload it to social media, it goes viral? Did that happen here?
No, because it would have ended with me choking him to death. And then I would have been in jail for murder.
And we would never have met. We wouldn't have the podcast.
No, you would not be listening to my voice today. So first of all, it was just ridiculously unprofessional. Second of all, he had a major attitude. And I'm sorry. Whenever you're working like this and it's a big activation, check your attitude at the door. Could not handle this. So here,
this was the guy from the company that hired you, basically, and he quit on the spot.
Well, no. So this is the guy. So the agency hired me doing the photo booth. The agency hired a staffing company that hired the brand ambassadors. So this is like two separate third-party companies. It's a lot going on here. And it took a while for me to figure out like how this happened. So keep in mind, we generally arrive like, I don't know, 3 hours prior. We probably spent about a good hour and a half trying to get in the door. It is an hour and a half in. We haven't even made it to the front. So then he throws his hands up and leaves. All these other girls are like, what do we do? I'm like, we're getting all this stuff in and we're going to set up. We don't need him. I don't need no man. And then so we walk in towards the back where we literally have been going the entire playoff, conference finals, everything. We are walking through the entrance that we have always walked into. There's a security guard. He says, you're not wearing the proper color, you know, credentials or whatever. You can't go through here. You have to go all the way around. Literally, the door that we were walking in, our setup space was literally 10 feet from the door. Like, we were backed up to the escalator.
Don't you hate the annoying security guards like that? Like,
oh, no. So this is where it works out to be Ryan P. Salinas. I said, this is the door we have to go through. These are our credentials. I'm sorry, I can't let you in here. I was like, I will call Lisa.
Ooh, Lisa.
Lisa was director of operations for the Spurs. I was like, I'm going to call Lisa. I don't know who Lisa is. I'm a caller. I pick up the phone. I said, Lisa, we're having a problem getting in the building. We had an issue getting our credentials. Now they won't let us in the building, saying we don't have the proper credentials to go in through this specific door. She goes, who is there? I said, his name is Frank. Would you like to speak with him? No, I'm coming down there myself. Click. I'm waiting. And I'm like, you in trouble. Lisa's coming. Lisa comes through the door. She might as well have kicked it open like flipping Wonder Woman. She starts screaming at Frank, how come you're not letting these people in the door? This is for AT&T. We have AT&T shirts. Look at the logo on the flipping building. AT&T. I mean, she went off on him. We get in there, and I'm so excited to tell this story because I don't think I've ever really kind of like told the story out loud.
I just feel bad for Frank.
Oh,
trying to do his job.
He now works at TV Guide. So we get in there. We have literally less than 60 minutes until doors open. My agency client is calling me saying, Ryan, what's happening? Ryan, what's going on? Keep in mind, she had been coming to every single game. She's out of Los Angeles. And she told me, she goes, you know, you guys got it. Like, the previous brand ambassador, he had it. Like, we're all good. She's like, I'm not coming this time. Fine, not a problem. Sure enough, the time that she doesn't come, all hell breaks loose. So we get in the door. She's calling me. She's like, what's happening? Is everything okay? I was like, everything's fine. We're going to get set up. No big deal. Then the staffing agency calls me. She goes, Ryan, can you tell us what happened? You know, I forgot the guy's name. I probably just erased it from my memory. We're going to call him Steven. So she goes, can you tell me why Steven left? Like, Steven is our best person, blah, 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 blah. And I'm telling her, I was like, listen, little girl, I do not have time to talk to you. I have less than 60 minutes to get this booth set up. I gotta go. I go, we will talk about this on Monday. Hung up the phone with her, how to get oh, that was another thing. So the regional person was coming because he was going to sell specifically. So the flooring gets put down. We put up the backdrop. The backdrop was, again, that spandex stuff. So we were steaming it. Got the TV set up. Got the power brought in. Set up the photo booth. Done everything. I think maybe we had finished about 3 minutes before we started seeing fans come in.
Doesn't it always work out that way where you just get it done right in time?
No, it usually – it doesn't. I would love it, but no, that's not always the case. However, 3 minutes, fan starts coming in. 1 minute, the regional director comes in. Everything looks great. Oh, perfect. And I'm just sweating bullets and just thinking like, girl, if you were only here 30 minutes ago.
You got no idea what it took to get to this point.
You wouldn't be saying that.
Ignorance is bliss.
So then
– he doesn't even know about Frank. Poor Frank.
Oh, yeah, I know. I need to call Lisa. Anyways, point being is once you figure out that there is – like, tell me that the regional director is coming. Tell me that this client has specific requirements for this. I can't help you if you don't tell me. So I guess the whole point of the story is it's always best to find out who the actual end client is. Because what you don't want to do – oh, this is another thing that I had happen. I had a sponsor for a museum event. My girl was shutting down the photo booth. She didn't know that the sponsor that paid for it was the last one in there about to take a photo, and she told him no.
Ooh, that is a very bad mistake.
Well, she ended up taking the photo, but still, like
– it's not a good look.
Help me fix these problems before they happen.
You know what, though? Like, I'm trying to think this through. First of all, there's a lot of stuff that happened there, and I'm sure it's hard to keep track of for people who are listening that aren't exposed to these events where there's all these different layers going on. But I think the main thing for people to take away is that even if you don't do these sophisticated events, the same concept applies where whenever someone hires you, that's not the end user, right? Even if it's a mom hiring you for the daughter's wedding, like anytime the person who's talking to you, booking you and hiring you is not going to be the end client, this can apply. The main thing that I took away from that is Ryan just focusing on getting the result. I don't care about Frank. I don't care about this person's coming in. They didn't tell me this. They didn't tell me that. What do you need? What do you need?
I don't care about Frank either.
And I will work like the sheer focus on getting the result.
So anyways, that's my story.
But I don't know if there's anything that you can do to avoid those issues, right?
Yes, like, there is. You can be proactive in finding out if this is an agency client, finding out, hey, listen, is there anyone that we should look out for? Is the end client going to be there? Do we need to make sure that anyone gets any special attention? You know, the girl at this other event 2 weeks ago, she was like, oh, the girl in the white, the blonde, that's the end client. Just make sure that she's happy.
That's interesting. I mean, it's basically like going to a wedding and knowing the family members of the bride. Like, you got to know the key stakeholders at any event that you do, right?
Sure.
So you don't shut the booth down on the bride's mom or the regional manager or whatever, right? So you have to kind of do this intel gathering early on, regardless of the person who's hiring you being the end client or not. So I was listening to something actually yesterday. It's a very interesting concept about extreme ownership where you have to own everything and stop playing the victim. Oh, I didn't know this. Oh, they didn't tell me that. Focus on what you can do. What can you do to control the situation and not play the victim? I think that's a very powerful concept to leave people with. Basically focusing on your role and what you can control and acting on that.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. We are up for a podcast award. Please go to superboothers.com, click on our main little photo that says nominate us for a podcast award. All you have to do is click listener nominations and nominate us in the business category and in the main people's choice category. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.